Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. We're all swimming in peace, right? Why you laugh? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and if he's our King, then we should all be full of peace. Are you? Or are you like most of us and you could use a little more? Is your tank low this morning when it comes to peace? You know, I thought at one point this week I should have never told Paul that I would preach on peace, because it seems the minute I did, I have been in a battle for peace. And I'm dead serious. It was like all the devil's fiery darts to destroy my peace were aimed right at my head. And I know some of you can relate. And in this battle this week, I've realized several reasons why we lack peace. One of them is that we want to be in control of our lives and everyone else's, and it's not working out so well, right? Another reason is we've had experiences that have shaped our thinking, made us who we are, and that creates anxiety for us. And what I mean by that, and an example from my own life, is y'all have heard me talk about my son Samuel that died when he was 16 months old suddenly. Was running around one day in the hospital on an IV the next. And you may not know that literally I stood by his bed in that hospital, and as they put a different drug to try to help him into his IV, I literally watched that drug go into that IV, and I watched my son quit breathing and turn blue right before my very eyes. And so, do you know what that does to you when it comes to drugs? I have had PTSD concerning drugs for the past 30 years of my life. Because of that one experience shaped me and created anxiety in me concerning drugs. I didn't want to give my children drugs. I didn't want to take drugs because I watched my son die as a drug went into his IV. That's what I mean by our experiences that we've had throughout life. And you've had experiences throughout your life that have scarred you. And so when you face something today that is in any way kind of like that experience, it creates an anxiety in you that you just feel powerless over. Another reason that we lack peace is because we believe things aren't true. Another example from my own life is blood pressure. Now, I used to have low blood pressure, and today I don't have high blood pressure, but I am terrified of having my blood pressure taken. And I know it's crazy. Y'all can call me crazy. I know it's irrational. I have tried to reason with myself. But at one point in my life, I felt anxious, so I went and just randomly took my blood pressure, and it was higher than I didn't even know blood pressure went. And so at that point, my thinking about blood pressure was that if your blood pressure was ever high, you were fixing to die of a stroke. Okay? That's not true. Okay, my daughter's a nurse. She keeps telling me, Mama, that's not true. We all have our blood pressure goes up and down, you know, okay. But that's what I thought, and that's what I struggle not to think today. So sometimes the things that we believe that are not true create anxiety in our lives that we feel powerless over. And it's a process to relearn that and to get our thinking in line with the truth and for it to affect the way that we feel, to get rid of that anxiety. Another reason that we lack peace is that we're convicted of sins that we don't want to repent of. And we have anxiety over it. Or we're convicted of things that we should be doing that we're not doing, but we know we should be doing them. And it creates anxiety in us because there's not peace within us because we know we're not doing what we should be doing. So those are some of the reasons why we lack peace. But as Christians, I think we also lack peace because we have faulty concepts of what God's peace really is. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. God is a God of peace. So we cry out to God as His Word tells us to do. And what do? We expect to get peace, right? I mean, we're doing what the Bible says. We Philippians 4, 7 it. You know what I mean? Have no anxiety about anything, but pray about everything with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And what does the rest of the verse say? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you, like me, have taken that verse and you said, okay, God, I am going to have no anxiety about this. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to thank you for this. And now I'm just waiting for that peace that passes understanding to be mine. And nothing happens. Anybody else ever experience that? And you're like, what am I doing wrong? God, what am I doing wrong? Why don't I have that peace? We cry out, Jesus, help me in the middle of the storm. And we expect Jesus to calm the storm immediately. And He doesn't. And we're like, what am I doing wrong? Jesus, where are you? Do you not love me? Do I not have enough faith? Because we think that we're supposed to have instant peace all around us whenever we do these things. And when it doesn't happen, we get mad. We get angry at God. We doubt God. We think, where are you, God? You don't do what you say. We get offended, and sometimes we stumble over Jesus. Our problem is that we want peace as the world gives peace. We want that absence of stress and anxiety. We want everything to be okay. We want everything to be perfect and peaceful. We want everyone to be happy and just get along. We want that outward peace. But is that really the kind of peace that Jesus offers? If you look at John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And underline this, I do not give to you as the world gives. I do not give to you as the world gives. And then He says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. What does He mean? He doesn't give as the world gives. Well, we also know He said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 36, He said this, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth." What? "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." So when Jesus talks about giving us peace, He is not talking about making our lives outwardly peaceful. He also said to His disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verses 12 through 15, when He had sent them out to preach the kingdom of God, He said, "As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." So we see from this passage that Jesus' peace is only for those who listen to Him, who listen to His gospel. So far we know that Jesus does not give peace as the world gives peace. We know that His peace is not an outward absence of stressful circumstances, and we know that His peace is only for those who listen to Him and obey. And I believe what Jesus wants us to understand when he says, I give you my peace, is that my peace is me. Jesus says, my peace is me. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when he talks about giving us peace, he is talking about giving us himself. And I think that's where we get this wrong, because we have in our heads a lot of times that Jesus dispenses peace, little pieces of peace. I give you peace, I give you peace. Here's a little piece of peace. I mean, y'all do that? I do that. I think, Jesus, give me a little peace. Give me a little peace. And Jesus says, I am peace. I am the Prince of Peace, and I want to give you me. I want to give you myself. We want that little piece of peace. We want Jesus to just give us peace, and then we want to go out and live our own lives with Jesus' peace. And Jesus says, no. I am your peace. I don't give you peace as the world gives you. I give you myself, and I am your peace. So let's take that yoke together and go out and walk together, and you'll have me, and you'll have my peace. So in our search for peace, we first have to realize that peace comes from the presence of Jesus in our lives. We can't have peace apart from his presence. So if that's true, what is it that keeps us from having and experiencing his peace in our lives? Well, the first thing is kind of obvious, and it's sin. As long as there is sin in our lives, known, unconfessed, unrepented of sin in our lives, we will not have peace. Because Jesus' presence, instead of bringing us peace, will bring us conviction. And we will hide from it. We will run from it, or we will turn and we will submit and we will confess and we will repent. As much as we would like for that not to be true, it is true. I know it probably seems that I harp on this in my messages, but I think it's because I see so much depression and discouragement in the body of Christ, and I see people that are genuinely confused about why their lives are so miserable and powerless, and often it's because of the faulty message that they have been taught about holiness and power. Somehow that the two are not connected, but oh, they are connected. They are very connected. God is a person, and he is real, and he wants to have a real relationship with us. But just as we, y'all think about it, we cannot have real relationships with people who lie to us, who go behind our backs, who don't spend time with us, who pretend to be something that they are not. God cannot, and he will not. He still loves us. Yes, he still loves every one of us, but we will not experience his presence, his peace, or his power without a repentant heart and a clean life. I sent Paul a quote this week from my devotion. It said, in ministry, private purity is the source of public power. Private purity is the source of public power. God is not going to let any of us get away with sin in our lives if we belong to him. That anxiety, that lack of peace that you deal with constantly, I'm not saying it is, so don't hear me wrong, but I am saying that it may be remedied simply by repenting of sin. That's what God's word teaches us. So that's one thing that we could look at. If we have this anxiety, we can't get rid of it. Let's say, okay, God, search my heart. Is there sin in my life that I don't have peace? I have constant anxiety because I have not repented of this sin that you keep bringing before me. I want to get it over with. I want to get it done. I want to get it out. I want to go on with you. And I want you, and I want your peace. A second thing reason that we could have anxiety and a lack of peace is that we have a lack of surrender or failure to trust in God's sovereignty. Now, even though this could probably be classified as sin, because unbelief in the Bible is like the biggest sin, you know, I list it separately because there are probably a lot of times that we don't have any overt, unconfessed sin in our lives, but we're just not fully surrendered to the will of God. And we may not even be aware that that's what it is. I mean, we may just be ignorant. We don't have peace, and we don't know why. Example, we want a situation to go a certain way. At work, amongst friends, at home, whatever, you name it, okay? Think about your situation, your life. There's a situation. It doesn't look like what we want to happen is going to happen. What do? We get stressed. We get anxious. We start thinking of ways to manipulate the situation. When what we should do, if we want God's peace, is to surrender the situation to Him and pray. And I don't mean just talk about it. I mean really submit to Him and His ways and trust in His power. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about a situation in your life that you don't have peace about, that is causing great anxiety for you. And I want you to ask yourself some questions about why you are so anxious and stressed out about it. Ask yourself, do I really believe that God is good and that He loves me and He wants what's best for me and for the people involved? Do I really believe that? Ask yourself, do I really want God to be glorified in this, or do I just want the credit or praise or my will to be done? That's kind of a killer right there, isn't it? Do I really want God to be glorified in this? Do I really want God's will to be done in this? Or do I just really want my will to be done in this? And then thirdly, do I really believe that prayer makes a difference to God? Do I really believe that God answers my prayer? Because I think when we honestly look at the situations that are causing us not to have peace, we will often find that they are things that we are not trusting God in and that we are seeking to control. This week I sat in my car and I just meditated on James chapter 4 verses 7 and 8. It says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Submit yourselves to God. Do you lack peace in your life? Do you trust Him enough to take your hands off of that situation? Isaiah 26:3 says, He will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on Him because he trusts in Him. I don't have that up there. It's Isaiah 26, verse 3. He will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on Him. Why? Because he trusts in Him. So I ask you, do you trust Him enough to take your hands off of that situation that has you so stressed and anxious? Because I'll tell you, as I sat in my car this week, I could literally feel, as I meditated on that, submit to God. Submit to God. As I meditated on that, when I submitted the situation to God and I took my hands off of it and I said, Your will be done, it doesn't matter to me. Because I know You're good, I know Your ways are perfect, and so Your will be done, I don't care what it is. As soon as I was able, by the grace of God, And I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying you get there the minute you start trying. But the minute you submit to God, the peace of God flooded my heart. The anxiety, the stress about that situation was gone. And that's the peace of God that passes understanding. I still don't know. It's still not the way I would like it to be, but it doesn't matter. Because I trust God. I've submitted it to Him. It's like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember the battle that He fought? Remember the stress and the anxiety that He was under at the thought of going to the cross, that the Bible says it was so bad that He literally was sweating drops of blood? Have you ever been that stressed out? To where your blood vessels are so much pressure, your blood pressure so high, probably, that your blood is oozing into your sweat glands? That's stress. That's not wanting something to happen. But when Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done," it was finished. I know He said it was finished on the cross, but when Jesus prayed that, it was over. It was over. "Thy will be done." Now, we may have to do that more than once. I'm not saying, y'all know me, I'm not saying the next week I'll be in my car in the exact same situation and saying, okay, here we go again. I submit, God, I submit. But we keep doing it. We keep doing it. And the third thing is a lack of faith and a failure to persevere. Sometimes I think we lack peace because we expect it instantly, and when it doesn't come, we give up. We say, well, this is just the way it is. We forget that this life is a battle. We are in a fight of faith and a fight for faith. Faith is a fight. I think of John the Baptist, the guy who announced the arrival of Jesus on the scene. You remember him? "The Lamb of God that takes away the world. I must decrease, He must increase. Y'all go follow Him. Quit following me." This is Him. This is the one who was promised. "I'm the voice in the wilderness crying out, prepare the way of the Lord." That's who I am. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit since I was in the womb. And remember when John got put in prison and Jesus was out doing all these miracles? And John was probably thinking, I'm sitting here. Why don't you do a miracle and get me out of here? Because he was just human, right? And so he sends his disciples to Jesus and says, go and ask him, are you the one? Okay, here's the guy that his whole purpose, from his birth up, his whole purpose was to prepare the way for this one. He baptized him and saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. But he gets in a bad situation. He's like, go ask him, are you the one? And Jesus, instead of sending back and saying, tell him, yes, John, I'm the one. He says in Luke 7, verse 22 and 23, he says, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And then he says, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. And Luke 7:23 in another version says, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. That Greek word translated there, stumble or offense, means literally a stumbling block or to offend, anything that would cause someone to trip up in who they trust or what they believe. That's what Jesus is saying. Blessed is anyone, when I don't fit into their box, doesn't stumble and quit believing, is what he's saying to John. When I don't do what you want me to do, when I want you to do it, blessed are you if you keep believing in me, is what Jesus is saying. Because that's a temptation for all of us, right? Because Jesus doesn't fit in our box. God doesn't do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. And so the temptation is to quit believing, to doubt him, to stumble, to say, I'm done with this thing. when our lives do not have the peace that we think they should have, that we are told Jesus would give, sometimes we are tempted to stumble, to take offense, to quit believing. But God's word is full of encouragement not to do that very thing. Meaning that God knows what a great temptation it will be and how hard this thing called faith will be to us. When we don't have peace and we start to do everything we should to get it, we pray, we read our Bibles, we proclaim it, we rebuke the devil, we do everything we can think of, and it still doesn't come, what do? You keep on. You keep on. You don't quit because it's coming. We do quit looking for peace itself. We quit looking for peace itself. Peace is the world gives. And we focus all of our attention on Jesus, the Prince of Peace, because it's His presence, because He is our peace. Think of the 23rd Psalm. What does the psalmist say? He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. You are with me. He is our peace. The fact that He is with us. I heard on the news a guy that was being interviewed that was in those recent storms. It was a pastor and his family, and they had gone down into, they were in the church that got totally blown away. But the church had a tunnel that went down under the road to another building on the other side. For some reason, it was built that way. And so these two families had gone down there, and they were interviewing the pastor, and he said that they had gotten down as far as they could in the tunnel, and he was literally lying on top of his wife and children to protect them. And he said, I won't tell you it wasn't terrifying. He said, it was terrifying. He said, because the tunnel began to rumble, things began to fall, everything was, and he said, my children were scared, my wife was scared, I was scared. He said, but in the midst of that, we had a peace that only came from Jesus. So I'm not going to tell you that the world around you might not be scary, and it might not be crumbling, and your circumstances might not be what you want them to be, but we can know that He is with us, and He is our peace, and He will give us that peace in the midst of the storm if we will focus on Him and not just peace. No matter where we are or what kind of mess life has us in, we can have peace. We can have that peace that passes all understanding because Jesus is our peace. Jesus doesn't give peace as the world gives peace because Jesus gives real peace. The peace that the world offers is a fake peace. Jesus knows that left to ourselves, we would settle for a fake peace, wouldn't we? I would. It's like, if you would just make everything right and peaceful, make everybody get along, make everybody do what I want them to do, then I'd be tempted to settle for that. And Jesus says, nope. Because I don't want you to settle for that. I don't want you to settle for a fake peace, so I'm not going to let you have that. A peace that comes from the numbing effect of drugs, sometimes I'd settle for that, wouldn't you? Let me go take that Xanax, please. Jesus says, no, that's not the peace I want you to have. We want the peace just suppress our real desires. Nirvana. Isn't that what Nirvana is in Buddhism? Isn't that Nirvana to where you have total peace because you've gotten to a point where you have no desires whatsoever for anything? Jesus doesn't want us to have nirvana. He doesn't want us to have that fake peace that just comes from compromising with people and saying, okay, I'll do this, you do this, and we'll just have peace. He wants us to have real peace, and that's why He won't let us be deceived about the peace that the world gives. He keeps after us when we are trying to settle for the peace that the world gives, and he keeps knocking on the door of our hearts, wanting to be Lord of it all, wanting us to completely trust in him, because the peace that Jesus gives is a transforming peace. It's a peace that nothing can diminish or demolish. No one can take it away. No one can give it to us. It comes only from the Prince of Peace and his presence, and he has promised to give it to all who love and trust and obey him. It's a peace that comes because we have been truly transformed by his grace and by his power and filled with his Spirit. We don't have to pretend to have peace. We don't have to try to control ourselves so that we have peace. We don't have to get another single person to do anything, because Jesus is our King and he is the King of Peace. We may have to fight for the faith to hang on till it comes. We may have to submit our wills to his. And we will definitely have to expose ourselves and ask him to search our hearts and to cleanse us from all sin and be willing to come into the light. But if we will come, we have his word. This Christmas, as you come and adore the one who was born in the manger, know that he is your peace. Don't seek peace in itself. Seek Jesus, and you will find peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this is so true, that as we seek Jesus, as we come and we worship and adore him, as we allow him, allow you to come form us, to conform us, to transform us, to conform us to the image of Jesus. If, as we allow you to work in our lives, we don't have to worry about anything else except just trusting you and allowing you to do that for us. We thank you that that's who you are. That's what you want to do. And I pray that you would give each one of us in this place this morning the grace to totally surrender, to totally submit to what you want to do in our lives today and every day. And Lord, may we give you the glory and the honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.